We have a visiting speaker this morning, Brother Stephen Kennedy. He's visiting from the Glenwood Park Congregation. Brother Kennedy this morning has prepared an interesting theme entitled, Be a Hearer and a Doer of God's Word. Brother Kennedy.
I have a question for all you married brothers. Has your wife ever asked you, did you hear what I said? And what was your response? Maybe you thought about it for a second. You said, yes, dear, I heard you. But wait, then comes the question. So what did I say? And of course, what was your response, brothers? Did you perhaps pause again? And then you said, I don't know, dear. Well, I can see that, you know, and this has happened to all of us. I mean, let's be honest, brothers, right? And I can see, you know, the wives, you know, have a smile on their face because, you know, they can relate to that, right? So you heard your wife say something, right? But you weren't really listening to your wife. You didn't really hear what she said. And then, of course, you had to eat some humble pie, right? You had to apologize to your wife. And you had to promise that you would work on being a better listener. And thankfully, you have a good wife and she forgave you and she accepted your apology and you learned a valuable lesson that you need to listen to your wife when she talks to you. Now, being a good listener is something that we all need to strive for. In fact, Jesus, he repeatedly urged the crowds that he was teaching to listen to him. But he often used the phrase, let the one who has ears listen. Now, why did he use that phrase often? Well, because he had something of great value to teach, and he wanted the crowds to get the sense of what he was teaching, so that they could apply these things in their daily life. And so that's why. Now, we know Jesus was known as an excellent teacher. And we'll bring our first image up, brothers. And he used many illustrations and parables when he taught. And he used these, so scenes like this would be, fairly familiar. And he used these illustrations, to weed out those who had just a superficial interest in kingdom truth. Right now, we know most people heard Jesus, but they didn't really listen. They didn't get the sense of what he was saying. In fact, they were not really interested in knowing about the kingdom that Jesus taught about. Well, we know that a lot of times they went back home and they just thought, well, they're good stories, with good moral themes, and it didn't really touch their heart. And we know that many people today, they've heard at least some of the Bible's message, but just as in Jesus' day, it doesn't really touch them. They're often hindered by various prejudices or human philosophies, or perhaps they're just distracted by the day-to-day events that they do. So really, humbly listening to God's word is really of vital importance for our salvation. We have to take in knowledge of Jehovah God and Jesus Christ. In fact, familiar scripture to many here today, in John 17:3, it says, this means everlasting life. They're coming to know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. So it's important for us to look to this book for guidance in all matters of life, the Holy Bible. Now, hearers must also become doers of God's word, right? It's not really sufficient, just to take in Bible knowledge. We have to apply what we learn. I'd like to invite you to the book of James in chapter 1. We're going to read a verse in chapter 1, James chapter 1, and we're going to consider verse 25. So James chapter 1. And verse 25. Give me a second to get there. And it reads, but the one who peers into the perfect law that belongs to freedom and continues in it has become not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and he will be happy in what he does. Now we're going to focus on this law. What was the law? What was the law that James was referring to? Well, it's often called the law of Christ. It's also called the law of faith and the law of free people. And it's a perfect law, right? It encompasses all that Jehovah requires of us. Now, we know that the law codes of many countries, they're really, cause a burden on people, and they're complex and they're hard to understand. But not so with Jehovah's laws. Jehovah's laws are not complex, they're not a burden. And the beauty of Jehovah's laws is that they're founded on love. And when we apply these laws in our daily lives, or these standards, we become doers of the word. Now, sometimes a person might have to make some big changes in their life, in order to bring their life in line with Jehovah's standards. We can take a look at this example just in the first century, how God's Spirit helped them to overcome some strongly entrenched practices. Let's go to 1 Corinthians this time, chapter 6. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 9 through 11. And it reads, "Or do you not know that unrighteous people will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be misled. Those who are sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who submit to homosexual acts, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy persons, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, will not inherit God's kingdom." And this is the key part of the scripture. He says, "And yet that is what some of you were. But you have been washed clean, you have been sanctified, you have been declared righteous in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Spirit of our God." So with the help of God's Holy Spirit, these people were able to change their ways and to bring their life in line with Jehovah's laws and standards. And really, it's because, we have they developed an appreciation for divine teachings. That's what helped them to be able to make these changes. Now, there was an article series a few years back in the Watchtower called "The Bible Changes Lives." And we're going to take a look at an example of how the Bible helped this one man. And it was entitled, "I Was Digging My Own Grave." Now, I was told by a gentleman, his name was Oscar Serpas. He was born in 1978 in El Salvador. And his past was he was a violent gang member. He was the sixth of 15 children. And of course, his parents tried to raise him to be honest and obey the laws, right? And there was a gentleman named Leonardo and other witnesses used to visit the family when he was young, and they came to teach him about the Bible. But he wasn't really interested. He basically said that I disregarded what I was taught and made one bad decision after another. Now, by the time he was 14, he started drinking and doing drugs with his school friends, and one by one, they dropped out of school and joined the gang. And of course, he followed along with his friends, dropped out of school and joined the gang. And he says, "We spent our days on the streets demanding money and stealing to pay for our vices." He says, "The gang became my family, and I believe I owed them my loyalty." So as time went on, a couple of years passed. He's 18 now. He says, "When I was 18, my gang clashed with the police. I was about to throw a homemade bomb and it exploded in my hand. So I only remember seeing my shattered hand and then I fainted." So when he woke up in the hospital, his right hand was gone. He had lost the hearing in his right ear and he was almost blind in the right eye. Now you would think this would kind of wake him up a little bit, but no. He says, "Despite my injuries though, after being discharged from the hospital, I went right back to the gang. And shortly thereafter, he was arrested and sent to prison." He says, "There, my relationship with the gang members strengthened. They used to hang out all day, and they'd smoke marijuana from the time they got up till the time they went to bed." And that was his life. So he says, "How the Bible changed my life." So how did the Bible change his life? So while he was in prison, Leonardo, that used to call on the family, went to visit him. He says, "As we talked," he says, he pointed to a tattoo on my right arm. He said, "Do you know what these three tattooed dots mean?" He asked. "Of course," I said. He says, "Sex, drugs, and rock and roll." Right? He says, but Leonardo replied. He says, "I'd rather say they mean hospital, prison, and death." said, you've been in the hospital, you're now in prison. And he says, and you know what comes next. So that kind of shook him up. He says, he said, it stunned me what he said. He says, he was right. He says, I was digging my own grave by my way of life. So Leonardo invited him to study the Bible. And of course, he accepted a Bible study. And he says, what I learned from the Bible moved me to change my life. One of the scriptures that really touched him is 1 Corinthians 15:33, you know, which says, you know, do not be misled. See those words again we just read just with the other scripture. Do not be misled. You know, bad associations spoil useful habits. And we see how that happened to him. Right? He followed his friends to the gang and they all ended up in prison. So one of the first things he had to do was find some new friends. So he started skipping gang meetings. Instead, he started attending meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses that were actually held inside the prison. And he met a witness named, an inmate named Andreas, who had been baptized as one of Jehovah's Witnesses inside the prison. So he started going to the witness meetings. And he says, each morning, he says, instead of smoking marijuana, says Andreas and I discussed the Bible verse together. So you see the changes are starting to happen. Right. And what about the gang now? Well, the gang members, they immediately noticed that he was changing. Right. So one of the gang leaders said, well, look, we need to talk, because to leave a gang or to get out of a gang once you're in it was a pretty hard thing to do. He said it was almost impossible to leave a gang. So this is the gang member, Young Langley. He says, we've seen that you no longer attend our meetings. Instead, you're attending the meetings of Jehovah's Witnesses. So what do you plan to do? He asked. So I told him I wanted to continue studying the Bible and to change my life. So to my surprise, he says, he told me that the gang would respect me as long as I proved that I really wanted to become one of Jehovah's Witnesses. He imagined how he was feeling at this point in time. He's like, probably shaking his head. He's like, wow, okay, so what's going to go on here? Then he said, if you really want to learn about the gods, just stick with Jehovah's Witnesses. So he's probably pretty puzzled at this point in time, right? He says, we expect you to stop doing bad things. I congratulate you. You are on the right path. The Witnesses can really help you. So he's probably really shaking his head at this point in time. He doesn't know what to think. He says, I studied with them in the United States, and some of my family members are Jehovah's Witnesses. He says, don't be afraid. Keep going. And some of my, I was still scared, but at the same time, I was overjoyed. So now some of his former friends tested him by offering him drugs. And he did have a couple of stumbles, but eventually he was able to overcome his vices. And then he was released from prison. And a lot of people thought that he'll be back. He'll be back in prison. He's not going to change his ways, but he stuck at it. And he did change his ways. And he ended up going back to the prison to share with other inmates what he had learned from the Bible. Now, one day he went out to preach in his territory with a brother. And all of a sudden, he's surrounded by rival gang members. They remembered him, right? And they wanted to, you know, they wanted to kill him. The brother he was with, you know, I spoke with them. And he says, my partner politely and bravely explained to them that I was not a gang member anymore. Says, meanwhile, I tried to stay calm, probably pretty nervous, you know, because serious stuff. So he says, after beating me and telling me not to come back into the area, the men lowered their weapons and let us go. So the Bible had changed my life. Since in the past, I would have tried to get revenge, right? Because that's the gang way, right? And says, but now I heed the Bible counsel in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, which says, see that no one repays injury to injury to no one. So you can see the changes, they continue to happen. Now, how did he benefit from all of this? He says, I used to be a violent man full of anger. I am convinced that I would not be alive if I had followed that vicious course. What I learned from the Bible has transformed my life. I gave up my vices. I learned to be peaceable with my former enemies. I have a happy life with a purpose. And I enjoy good friendships, you know, with people who help me develop good qualities. In 2006, he attended a special training for school for single evangelizers. And then some years later, he got married and had a daughter. Well, life's going pretty good for him now. And he says he also ended up serving as an elder in the local congregation. So he made some big changes. He says, instead of digging my own grave, he says, I now build for an eternal future that God promises in the Bible. So Oscar listened, he learned, and he applied, and he became a doer of the word. So we can see how the Bible helped early first century Christians change their ways. We see how, looking at a modern day example, and these are many, these are not isolated cases. There's a lot of examples like this of, you know, people even worse than Oscar. Now, to enjoy kingdom blessings, though, we can't simply do what we think is pleasing to God, right? Let's read another scripture that really highlights that nicely. In Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23 reads, it says, not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but only the one doing the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and expel demons in your name and perform many powerful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you workers of lawlessness. Well, many who call themselves Christians today might find those words a little disturbing, right? Why would Jesus have such strong words for those who have been performing powerful works in his name? Well, we know the churches of Christendom, they've sponsored many charities, right? They've aided the poor, they've built hospitals and schools, and we can't deny those are good things, right? They perform many, many good works. But to see why they've earned Jesus' anger, we're going to consider an illustration. Perhaps you've heard this illustration before, but it's a good illustration, and it fits in nicely with this material. We had a father and mother, they have to go on a trip and they can't take the kids, so they hire a babysitter. And they give her specific instructions. Take care of her children. Feed them. Keep them clean. Keep them from harm. Pretty simple instructions, right? When the parents return, they find the kids are dirty, they're hungry, they're crying, they're not very well looked after. And the babysitter is up on the ladder cleaning the windows. And so the parents are, what are you doing? But the kids, they're not well looked after. Right? Well, she says, look at the windows, how beautiful, nice and clean they are. And then they did some other repairs around your house. But is that what they asked her to do? No, all they did was ask her to take care of the children. Would they feel better because, she did all these things for them? No, they never asked her to do those jobs. They just wanted their children cared for. So her refusal to follow those instructions would make them angry. Now, we know many who claim to follow Jesus do good works, right? But it's not the work that's assigned by God. And so, what work are Christians today assigned? Well, doers of the word share the kingdom message with others. Jesus said that he came into the world to what? To bear witness to the truth. That's why he came, right? And he went through Galilee and Judea, teaching and making disciples of priesthood of heirs. And he was trained by Jehovah, his father, right? He commissioned him to do that. And then in turn, he trained and commissioned his followers to preach the good news of the kingdom and to make more disciples. We have a picture we can bring up. So he trained and commissioned his followers to preach the good news of the kingdom and to make more disciples. And so that's the first picture. So that's in the first century. And then we've got the next picture there, brothers, the modern day picture. And we'll see the similarities between the two pictures. So it's pretty similar. Not much has changed, right? He sent them out by twos, didn't he? And we do the same thing today. And we go to the people. And early Christians, they taught that same kingdom message as Jesus did, and it's taught today also. So we could say that sharing in the preaching work of the good news is an essential part of doing God's will, right? Being a doer of the word. The Apostle Paul, he explains it nicely too in Romans 10. Excuse me. We're going to go to Romans 10, and we'll read chapter Verse 13 to 15. And it reads, "For everyone who calls on the name of Jehovah will be saved. However, how will they call on him if they have not put faith in him? How in turn will they put faith in him about whom they have not heard? How in turn will they hear without someone to preach? How in turn will they preach unless they have been sent out? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those bringing the who declare good news of good things." So, somebody has to do it, right? We're trained and we have to, you know, and we have to go out and do it, right? And you know, how are people supposed to know if they're not taught, if nobody goes to do it? So who's really filling those that commission worldwide today? There's nobody else that are doing it except Jehovah's Witnesses worldwide. There are some other religions who do a little stints. You know, we think of the Mormons, right? They do a little stint of preaching door to door, but they don't stick at it. And they're not consistent. Jehovah's Witnesses are consistent in their preaching campaign worldwide, all over the world. Now, we have to pay attention to how we listen, right? Despite the urgency of our times, it's possible for us to fall into the trap of becoming hearers only. We're going to read another verse. We're going to go back to the book of James again this time, chapter 1. And this time we're going to read verses 22 to 24. So James chapter 1, 20, starting in verse 22, it says, "However," we'll have the image brought up also, brothers. It says, "However, becomes doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves with false reasoning. For as anybody is a hearer of the word and not a doer, this one is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what sort of person he is." And let's read verse 25 again, because we read it a while ago, because it really really takes it home. It says, "But the one who peers into the perfect law that belongs to freedom and continues in it has become not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, and he will be happy in what he does." So when we get up in the morning, what's usually the first thing? We use the bathroom and we look in the mirror. Why do we look in the mirror? We say, okay, we see what adjustments we have to make. Maybe we have to fix our hair, have to shave. You know, for our sister, we put on our makeup. We want to make sure that we're presentable before we go out into the world to do whatever's going to work or, you know, coming to Christian meetings. We want to make sure we're presentable because that's important to us, right? But as we engage in various activities and the mind focuses on other things, we may stop thinking about what we saw in the mirror. Right? If we don't make those changes, we go out to... people are probably going to be looking at us like, okay, you know, your hair is a little scruffy and you look a little rough today, right? It's going to happen to us in a spiritual sense, right? If we look in to the Word of God, we can compare what we are to what Jehovah expects us to be. So it's like a mirror. Right? We see the brother with the Bible there and he's looking at it and he's probably thinking, well, how can I improve the person I am to... so my life is more in line with Jehovah's laws and standards. You know, how can I become more of a doer of God's word? And it really, the Bible helps us to become face to face with our own weaknesses. So that knowledge should motivate us to make adjustments, you know, in our personality. Now, again, we could, as we're going along with our daily activities and, you know, we're dealing with our problems, we could easily stop. I'm thinking about spiritual matters, right? And we could really forget for a moment all Jehovah's loving acts of kindness toward us. And we could become vulnerable to our own sinful inclinations. And we wouldn't want that to happen. So how can we avoid this? Right? Well, there's a few ways. We want to take advantage of all the provisions Jehovah makes through his earthly organization. Why? Because it's our own spiritual welfare, right? We have our Christian meetings and publications that assist us to study God's word. And that helps us to be, as said in the book of Timothy, to be completely equipped for every good work, right? It helps us to become doers of God's word. Something else that's important for us to do is to cultivate and maintain a regular program of family study and personal study. See, if we continue to make provisions of Allah, make use of these provisions, then we pay attention to how we listen. And again, it helps us to become doers of God's word. So we're supplied with what we need. Now, those who apply God's word will be blessed, right? Jesus describes two ways we can go, right? He describes two roads. You remember, one's broad and spacious, many are going off, and the other is a little narrow and not so many are finding it. Those are our choices, brothers and sisters. But now's the time to act on what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. So let's go back to the book of Matthew. Chapter 7. And we can bring the next images up. Okay, great. So therefore, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like a discreet man who built his house on the rock. And the rain poured down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and lashed against the house, but it did not cave in, for it had been founded on the rock. Furthermore, everyone hearing these sayings of mine and not doing them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain poured down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and struck against the house, and it caved in, and it collapsed. The collapse was great. So what important truth was Jesus trying to convey? Well, let's take a closer look at Jesus' words. In the illustration, he talks about two houses, right? One's built in solid rock, and the other's built in sand. We see in our illustration there. Now, the houses may have looked similar. They went through the same events. They may have been in the same general location even side by side. But one was built on rock and the other was built on the sand. Now, in a parallel account, Luke tells us that the discreet man, he dug down and went deep in order to reach a layer of rock. And as a result, the discreet man's house, it stood firm. So the point Jesus wanted to highlight, he didn't use this illustration, to highlight the appearance or the location of the houses, or what the elements did to the houses. He really wanted to highlight the actions of the builders. Right? One went down where he needed to be, and the other didn't. Excuse me. So how can we really be like that discreet man who went down deep? Well, we don't want to merely just listen to Bible teachings or just read the Bible at home. It's like putting our, and doing nothing else. It's like just putting our house on top of sand. There's like, there's no digging required, right? But we want to apply what we learn. And that's the key, brothers and sisters, is applying what we learn. We could illustrate it this way. If I went to school to be a carpenter, right? And I had bought all my tools and I got out of school and I had my ticket to be a carpenter on paper, but then I never picked up a tool again. Right? I wouldn't really develop my skills. In fact, after I would probably lose my skills because I'm not doing work as a carpenter. It's the same thing with spiritual things. If we don't practice what we learn and apply it in our daily lives, then we're going to lose it. Right? So we could ask ourselves, really, am I a hearer and a doer? Or do I merely read the Bible and not follow it? See, we want to follow the Bible's example, what we learn when we're making all of our decisions in life. And that's really important. And if we do, we're going to find peace and happiness in this, despite living in this troubled world. So what did we learn today? We learned a few things. We learned that listening involves more than just hearing. We think back on the example of your wife, right? I'm sure brothers today, they'll go home and when their wife says something, they're going to listen, right? We also, learned that it involves more than taking a knowledge of Jehovah's Law's standards. We have to apply them in our daily life. That's really important. So application, listening, learning, applying. We looked at some scriptures that really drove those points home. We looked at some examples of early Christian congregation, how they were able to make changes. We looked at an example of how this one brother, he was able to make some major changes in his life because he listened, he learned, and he applied. So if you take nothing away from this talk today, except for those three points, listen, learn, and apply, then that's three good things to take home from this talk today. And really want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to keep on making the efforts to do these three things: listen, learn, and apply. And if you do these things, you're going to gain Jehovah's approval, and you're going to gain the prospect of living forever in a beautiful paradise that Jehovah has promised. And also, if you help others do the same, they can become doers of God's word together with you, and they can benefit the same as you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Kennedy, for that fine discourse, helping us understand.